Mass, we'll have a special blessing for all of our fathers who are here present as we are celebrating Father's Day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The city of Venice is one of the world's most iconic cities. The watery kingdom of Italy, as Shakespeare called it, is enchanting. It rests in the northern end of the Adriatic Sea, atop 118 islands, intricately linked by countless bridges and separated by canals. Venice is defined by water. It's enchanting, I say, unless you visit in August, when it is beset by millions of tourists. 20 million people go there a year. Or it's not so enchanting if you visit during one of its frequent floods, what they call the acqua alta, the high water. Over the centuries, the city has been sinking as the waters have been rising. They are at risk of losing irreplaceable works of art and architecture. And during the last major acqua alta high water on November 12th of only 2019, water rose as high as 6 feet, far above what they had planned, causing an estimated 1.1 billion euros in damage. Historic buildings were swamped, hotels were shut, and even two people were killed. To combat this, construction began in 2003 on a project with the Italian acronym MOSE, MOSE. I'll spare you the actual engineering name, but the acronym is also the Italian word for Moses. And you should be thinking parting of the Red Sea at this point, right? MOSE, MOSE, is a series of 78 retractable gates set in the three inlets of the Venetian lagoon. When it began in 2003, its cost was estimated to reach 1.6 billion euros over an 8-year construction period, and that proved to be extravagantly optimistic. And today, they are still working on it with a projected cost of around 8 billion euros. That's about a 500% increase. Now, near the end of the project, it looks like the only way that it will truly work best is if they keep the gates raised constantly like a seawall, but that would then turn Venice into a stagnant pool stewing in its own sewage. And even if they do figure it out, it's only projected to be lasting 100 years. And they say they've already done 10 of those years while it's under construction. From ancient times until today, controlling water has never been a real forte of humanity. We've had a struggle with it. We've had some successes, beautiful bridges, things here and there, but the water always wins in the end. It was always seen as an attribute of God alone to truly control such a thing. That's the point of the first reading in Job. Only God can control. He made it and he controls the waters. And it's the point of the last line in today's gospel when the apostles, Mark says, were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who is this then, whom even the wind and the sea obey?" Wind, of course, like water, is another thing we have struggled to control. Who is this then? Of course, the implication being, only God. And that's what St. Mark is trying to tell us. We humans have always been a bit both fascinated and terrified by the power of water. We love to get near it, to dip our toes in it, to sail on it, to fish within it. We dig big holes in our backyard and fill it with it. But the farther we get into it, the deeper it gets, the more we begin to consider our safety. A smart person will always respect the power of water. We realize, in a word, that what we do not have is control. When we forget this principle, people get hurt or die. By including this story in his gospel account, St. Mark is accomplishing two things. One, Mark is proclaiming, as I mentioned, that Jesus is not merely a man, but he's also fully God, who alone can control such elements and forgive sins. And secondly, Mark is pointing out our very human fear of not being in control. We want to be in control, but we're not. Think back on humanity's first sin. God gave our parents freedom to have any fruit except one. Do you recall which one? Do you remember? Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The knowledge of good and evil. That's the one thing that God said, I will keep this to myself. I will let you know through divine revelation what is good and what is evil. And I will pass that to you. This is something that you are not to grasp at. You are not to try to control. But this is precisely what we want. Not just then, but even now. Think today of any hot button issue, particularly the moral issues, whether it be abortion or what makes a marriage or any hot button thing. If we can personally decide for ourselves alone that this is good and that is evil, then we will not have to depend on divine revelation. We won't have to depend on a church established by God on earth, Jesus Christ, to guide us in our choices of what is good and evil. If I can decide for myself, then I am in control. I can be God for myself. But it doesn't work that way, and instinctively we know it. We didn't have control of this one fruit because we can't control it. Only God can. It's like when we get in too deep water, too far from the shore without a boat, we instinctively know we need help. And just as we can't control the wind and the sea, just as even the watery kingdom of Venice can't figure it out how to stop the sea after living with it since the year 421, we have to finally admit our limitations. We have to be humble and have faith. It's not about you or me. You're not in control. I'm not in control. It's about Jesus Christ. Learning to accept our limitations and depend instead on God is especially hard in today's world, which is so technologically advanced, and it tends to put an almost religious quality faith in human potential. But we cannot make heaven on earth. We cannot save ourselves. Instead, we have to keep Jesus in our boat and trust that all will be well, even in the midst of the storms of life, even when it seems that our boat will be swamped. If he is present, all will be well, because we don't have to depend on ourselves being the ones in control. God is. The key to knowing this is prayer. It all comes back to this again. Prayer is how we will learn this kind of faith. Prayer is how we learn to let God be in control. Prayer is the gymnasium where we exercise and strengthen the faith that allows Jesus Christ to become the Lord of our lives, not just in theory or in name only, but in practice. To live no longer for ourselves, but for Christ. This is what gives full meaning to the life of those who let themselves be conquered by him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand.